Hello and welcome to another episode of BJ Shea's Board Game Alliance. I am your host, Joey, crowding the funding D's. Tried to screw with me there, didn't you,
Sean? I did a little bit, yeah.
But I did not fall for your trap, Sean Epperson of Think 12 Games.
Oh, hey, hey.
And, of course, Josh Utley of the Omega Gamers.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing great, Josh. How? Vicky B is on assignment, I should mention that, so she will not be joining us today. But how can the Geek Nationals get a hold of us, Josh, if they'd like to?
Well, they can go to bjgeeknation.com and you get all the podcasts, blogs, interviews, videos, links, and more.
More!
Just search for us on all the everythings, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, iTunes, or Audacy.com.
Audacy. A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Audacy.
We are on episode 123. We are going to discuss board games. Because that's what we do. I know, right? We had the opportunity a couple weeks ago to have Josh Stiltz on from One First Games to talk about The Boys, This Is Going to Hurt. And what did we do? We played The Boys, This Is Going to Hurt about a week or two ago, and we tried to defeat Homelander. For those of you who didn't hear the last episode that we had with him, The Boys, This Is Going to Hurt is a board game. It's a competitive adventure game for 1 to 5 players based on the hit series The Boys that we all love. And your mission is, as an FBI agent, to run around with the main characters of The Boys, Billy Butcher, Starlight. Pick one. They're in the game. And you're trying to defeat Homelander before anyone else. Or get obliterated.
Yes.
Literally.
So this one is specifically based off the comic series. So that's where all the art comes from. And they even have Butcher's Dog in there.
An alternate universe comic series.
Yeah.
In the same realm.
In the realm.
But, yes, it won't spoil anything for you if you're a huge fan and you don't know where the series is going or where the comic book series is going.
Yep.
It is a different alternate timeline, alternate universe. Thanos has taken us to a different part where he is slaying, or in this instance, it is Homelander. And man, we all had, I think, different experiences with this game.
We did.
There's a lot of dice rolling involved.
There is a lot of dice rolling.
And one of us in this room did not roll so well.
I rolled okay sometimes. It would be great to mitigate those dice rolls.
No, I had a great time. I loved watching you just swing and lose all your money and then swing and lose all of your blackmail.
Before we get too deep, what did you think of the art?
The art was awesome. Like, fantastic. Especially on the cards, because every character is unique. Not only the FBI agents, but they go really deep into, like, some of the characters that are from the comic books that you can play as. I loved every part of it.
I thought the art was spot on.
Yeah, I mean, they used Derek's art, and he was the artist for the comic. So clearly, like, I mean, they were just nailing that part of it, and it looks gorgeous.
Yes. Now, the art might have been very good, but Josh's ability to recruit members in the game, which is what you have to do, because if you don't have anyone to fight Homelander, he will just murder you.
Yes.
So you have to recruit members, and to do that, you roll dice.
And yeah, Josh, but they were very nice dice.
They were nice dice.
They're not cheap dice.
Components-wise.
Very nice dice, and the miniatures are really good sculpts, and they got to look great painted.
Yes, and you...
You should paint mine and then let me know.
He was wondering about that, actually, with the components and the dice. I will not paint yours because I am not good at painting. I will not like... The patience ends up about 10 minutes into one die. I'm like, you know what? I could just have these not be painted.
Yeah.
But the dice are great, but the big Homelander sculpts in the meeples are obviously fantastic.
The Homelander sculpt really doesn't do anything in the game. And yeah, you can use it to point at whose turn it is, but the turns are kind of short, so.
He's really there just to kind of.
He's the Everdale tree.
Yeah, it's the Everdale tree. He's there.
It doesn't do anything.
Imposing, you know, presence and, you know, a little bit of table presence as well.
And get people to come over and say, hey, what's this?
Yeah.
Then you could tell them.
Yeah.
This is a racing game.
A racing game?
Yes.
It's a race against Homelander.
A little bit.
And players. Yeah.
Graphic design. What do you think of the graphic design?
Yeah, I had no problems with it. I liked it.
I felt it was... Could use more iconography and less words, because trying to keep it language-centric, they ran out of room on a few things.
The board was missing, like, one or two keywords. I will say that. I know we came up with that. I think we noticed that, like, it could have said once a turn on one thing, And I believe there was the pairs that they have where you get bonuses and stuff. I thought there could have been something to at least
note some iconography for that.
Yeah, that the pairs were paired together because...
Or at least because there's not only pairs or duos, there's also teams that synergize well.
Yes.
But all the teams are just a name written on the card.
Right.
So you have to go through and look for all of them. Yeah, I do remember that too. Yeah. Which I didn't.
But, I mean, what they did have wasn't, I didn't find confusing at all.
Confusing, but you do limit your audience.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Definitely wasn't confusing because when I got it and I got my pair, because my pairs essentially are the way you do eventually end up defeating Homelander. Because if you don't get pairs, it's hard to get to the exact number of damage you need to defeat him through your dice rolls.
But so, really, out of all five of us, you're the only one that ever had any duos.
Yes. And so. We did think that about the game. So you can play up to five players, but there is a limited amount of characters you can purchase or recruit. And because of that, it tends to be a lot harder to get pairs if everyone's going for the same characters, because they are essentially different powers and such, but you need the dice. And the dice will end up mattering when you're fighting Homelander at the end. And we found out that when you have five players, everyone wants to recruit eight people.
Yes.
So... It was a little unlucky, I think, that like we just no one found a pair for the longest time. But, I mean, I did end up getting one, I guess. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think they could have used a couple more, at least duos or pairs or characters in general.
Yeah.
Which is what the...
Now, they had a ton of characters, but I think it was just too many teams, you know? Too many... But the duos are limited when you have all these teams.
It would have been better to have more of like a lot of cards compare with a lot of other cards kind of thing. Yeah. I could see that, yeah.
Need to synergize a little bit more with each other. Just to, yes, it could take it out of, like, this guy would never talk to this guy, but you're also trying to play a game.
Yeah.
I think there's options within the world to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're right that you're kind of limited. Like, I can only get this one person to be a part of my duo, where within the universe they had people kind of crossing over in various ways, so.
Yeah. And if somebody had... that duo, you're never getting it.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was a little rough. I know you can steal some things, but more resources. Some you can try to steal characters, but it's difficult.
Yeah.
It's not, you have to roll a 6 to get an alpha, and that's not great odds.
Yeah, an alpha
is no mitigation.
Yeah, there's two levels of characters. There's an alpha and a beta. The alphas were the more like heavy hitters within the universe, and the betas were the like kind of side characters. Teenage Kicks, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of it, the theme is there, but does the theme play in the mechanics? And I don't think so. Hmm. I don't feel like a CIA agent. I don't feel like a superhero. I don't feel like I got the Compound V or a super well-adjusted, mentally stable character of the Boys. I just feel like I'm rolling dice waiting for my next turn.
Hmm.
We did run pretty unfortunate. Homelander has cards that reveal essentially every round, which is one turn for a person. And they do something to the board or the players, usually in a negative sense, to incentivize people to do stuff.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. You expect it. You got to have something coming at you. But you're right. We had an unfortunate, the ones that close, that make each area harder.
Mm-hmm.
We got like five of those out in the first five turns.
Oh, that's brutal. Yeah.
So now that's just a bad shuffle. And we played with all the cards to extend the game just so we can get a real good play of it.
Right.
If you don't play with all the cards, you're not always going to see those right away or at all. Because if you remove the cards because you randomly deal 21 cards or something like that, you may not ever see those. And that could be a very different play. But I still like for theme. Regardless of those cards coming out, I don't feel like I was playing the comic book or the movie.
I think the only thing that broke that a little bit for me was that in the universe, most of the time, the characters from the Boys are helping each other in various ways. And in this, you're kind of, but you're really not. And there's a lot of opportunities to kind of screw each other over because you're trying to be the one that actually goes out to defeat Homelander. They did that a little bit in the comic and series. Like, you know, someone is going off and doing something stupid, they might try and stop them. but primarily they were working together. So the fact that you're kind of working against each other a little bit did break the theme a little bit for me.
We definitely came down on you're working against each other all. There's no cooperative in this game whatsoever. There really isn't. There's nothing you're trying to hit in a turn. You can't combine your dice rolls to defeat any but him or any cards or anything. So for me, like, mechanically, I do want to talk mechanics, but your mechanics are roll the dice. That's it.
What did you think of the power bonus cards and the cards that helped you?
The resources? Resource
cards, yeah.
I felt... I see what you did there. I don't think they limit you way too much. Yes, the resources, they can be cool. They can get you another card, but you're throwing a card to get a card. It's not a huge gain. And then anything that gives you the power bonuses, they restrict you to a +3 total, whether it's compound V or cards. When you're trying to defeat something, you can buff your rolls, which usually in a luck-based game, being able to manipulate the dice is how you make these games funner. And they capped it at 3. That doesn't feel like the boys. Why are the boys, or anybody in the boys, any character thematically in the boys, one, going to listen to a power cap, and two, why is it so small? When Homelander has 40 hit points, and I have 5 dice that might roll 2s, you know,
I can see why they would cap, like, from a thematic standpoint, why they would cap V, the amount of V that you can use.
Because
you would,
I agree with you on,
like, 100%. Overdose yourself and kill yourself, right? Okay, yeah. So that makes sense.
But these cards, we went through the whole deck. We looked through the whole deck. There's only 2 +3s on powers in the entire deck and a few 2s and more 1s. But, I mean, if someone's sitting there farming all these resources, you also have a hand limit.
Yeah.
So at max, you might be able to powerhouse 1 alpha or beta. Otherwise, you have to hold all these cards, which will hinder you if you try to hold them all to fight Homelander.
Yeah.
So the power cap with your resource cards made 0 sense to me. I don't like that at all.
Yeah. Thanks, yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the big issues I think we came up with is it's a pretty hard 5-player game. Like, I think that what really affected our playthrough. And on top of that, we ran bad in the variants. Like, we flipped over some cards, and it was like, okay, well, now we're losing actions, because one of the big things is this is essentially an action management game. Like, you have very small actions per turn you can take, intentionally, because they want the game to go fast, right. So that once you learn what you can do in a turn, you can just blow through turns every, 30 seconds, essentially. Which I liked. I thought that was smart, because in a die-rolling game, it's like playing, like accelerated Yahtzee. You're just rolling the dice, you're trying to hit the exact numbers, and then you win, kind of a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I will say that I think Josh was right. I think losing turns or losing actions, by a state-based effect that essentially happened because a card flipped over can be kind of brutal, because you want to incentivize people to do more as the game goes on, not less.
Yeah.
And we definitely got restricted with less. But I overall liked just the really basic theme of you have to go collect dice, essentially, and then your dice change based on what you're getting. But I love numbers. So from a number standpoint, I was like, oh, I know exactly what I need to do here. BJ, on the other hand, who we played with, most hilarious playthrough ever. This guy spent hours just complaining about, like, certain things. And I even justified, as Josh did, things were happening and they weren't great and so for them. So I was like, yeah, I get it. But he was winning. Like, even Josh Stilts, the board game creator, who helped, do all this work, is sitting there like, I'll switch spots with you. And BJ's like, no. No, you're just saying that because you want to try to beat me, come from behind and beat me, and we're like, no. I was looking at him like, you're really not that far off. Like, I mean, he doesn't. It's hard to tell because, as Josh said, Homelander has like 40 hit points, or this our game he ended up having that many, and you don't know how hard it is to roll 40 on 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 dice when your average is like 3 or 4. You're not getting there very often.
Yep. Well, one of the big problems BJ had is he didn't see a catch-up mechanic. And Josh tried to explain a few things that were possible, but not a clear catch-up mechanic or a possibility to stay in the game. It turns out, because we were like, let's just play through and we'll see. It turns out you don't need it. Everyone's going to catch up. It is so hard to get the dice you need to beat Homelander. By the end of the game, we all had all our dice.
Yeah.
We all caught up, and it really just came down to who was lucky enough to roll well.
Yeah, I mean, I played it with a group that I game with over in the Yakima area, and we were all pretty close, so that when one person finally felt like they had enough, they moved in to go attack him, and they were able to do it. And it was kind of a, you know, they got a lucky roll, which I don't have a problem with in a game with that sort of the whole idea behind it.
Yeah, but I play games, and I like multiple paths to victory.
Yeah.
If I see you playing a game, and you're doing this thing, and, oh, well, there's no way I can compete with that because it would just take me half the game to try to catch up to what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but I can do this path to victory, and maybe I can be competitive.
Right.
I didn't feel like that once someone, BJ and Josh and Joey, were clearly kind of ahead of everybody, I was like, well, there's really not much. And we ran out of alphas.
Yeah.
There were no more alphas that could add to power. There was like three that were kind of ineffective. We couldn't synergize our teams anymore. Like, I was stuck. There was just no way. And that's luck of card draw and luck of dice roll. So yeah. For me, I'm going to pass on the boys.
Oh, okay.
Maybe the expansions will change some stuff. And I will definitely try it again if the expansions add more variability of play, not the art. The art's great. The characters, there's a ton of characters. But that's just for me.
Yeah. I definitely feel that there is an audience that will appreciate it more and an audience that will appreciate it less. The group that I played with really liked it, but they're also like more lighter players. So games that are, you know, a little more swingy on dice rolls and stuff like that, or random card draws, they don't mind and they just kind of lean into. So they had a lot of fun with it and they didn't have that problem with it.
Joey, what did you think? What's your final thought, Mr. I won the game?
I did win the game. I could play Billy Butcher. Billy Butcher is quite powerful. He gives a lot of hit dice and a lot of plus to your hit rolls, which is great because you do need to get to that 40. I enjoyed it. I'm a little biased now at this point, though, because I was thinking about it. I'm like, we took like 7 hours to play this game.
Well, there's a reason why it took 7 hours.
Yeah, and we really did a lot of dissecting of it while we were playing it, too. But there was a point where, like, I think BJ and one of our other gamers started an hour-long conversation about something. And I'm like sitting there, I'm like, whose turn is it? Like, this is supposed to literally take
our group?
30, yeah.
That sounds made up. I don't know what you're talking about.
And we realized it got to BJ and it stopped. And then he got into a conversation and then we were just like stalled. So, like, I mean, like, I think it went a lot longer than it normally should, especially with five players, too.
And we did put in all the bad cards.
We did.
So we lengthened our game purposefully. Yeah.
I did like it. I would like to try it again. I would like to try it again with three players. I want to see, because I think to Josh's point, we ran out of alphas, but that's not supposed to happen in the game. You're supposed to have at least like probably like 8 or 10 left in the deck so that like finding pairs is a little easier. And also, if you find one and you know that it's not out there, right? The problem is a lot of times you'd find an alpha and we'd already know the pair was out there. So you were like, I don't have a lot of incentive to go finish and, you know, hire this person to fight Homelander because I'm not going to get enough dice anyways without the bonus.
And trying to sabotage them is just... it's just too hard.
Yeah, and to your point, Josh, since there is only one way to win the game, like, there's no, like, you know, connect three, or there's no, like, oh, you've completed a side quest that gives you victory points, and you really, it's just getting dice.
Yeah, and honestly, there are side missions in it, but they are a light distraction. They don't reward you well. And there's no, they're not going to say no. In the side missions, there's very little variability. Every time I had them, they were matching.
Really?
Which is great. If I did it, I'd complete both. But they're like, hey, you get one thing. One minor
one money
thing. Yeah, one.
I've only played it at 5 as well. And I'd like to try it at a lower player count. I was looking on BGG and it says the recommended is 2.
Wow. So yeah, that makes sense.
Really
yeah.
2 to 3.
3, I'd see. 2, I don't know.
2 would be interesting because you probably like remove the sabotaging pretty much from the game at that point because you're never going to be on the same area on the board.
Being in the same spot.
Yeah, but I could see 3. I think 3 is probably where you want to land on this game if you can. I still enjoyed it. I mean, I did end up winning. I got lucky. BJ was literally one number away from winning. I think he got 39 and he needed 40.
Oh.
And on the turn that I won, like, he rolled first, rolled 39, missed, and then I rolled a 40.
Nice.
But, so it was, I mean, it was awesome in that sense for me. But I remember thinking the whole time, like, Josh and I are looking at each other and I'm like, GG is about to win. Like, he doesn't know it, but he's about to win the game.
Yeah.
And he rolled and we counted and like literally counted like 3 times because he's like, I think I have 39. And we're like looking at him like, yeah, it looks like 39.
And the other person we were playing with, he tried to fight Homelander like 3 or 4 times and he was also very close. So It just came down to luck.
Yeah, I feel like there'd be something cool if you lost to Homelander. Like, that way, like, there is almost like a catch-up mechanic in the sense that if you take a shot and miss, it's not just taking a shot the next turn. It's like you have, like, something happens. Like, your guy gets, your alpha gets killed. Or some way you lose something in the fight. Like, you know, traditionally in the boys would happen if you went to piss off Homelander.
Right.
But overall, you know, I had a good time. And the game day was fun. I mean, Josh brought in cheese, and I love cheese. So
yeah, it's still there, too. I forgot my dang cheese.
There's a lot of great cheese. So it was fun. And I would like to try it again. Hopefully we get a chance. And again, I think if we played it now, it would take maybe 90 minutes at most, with three people.
Because, like you said, we were dissecting, and we were, you know, making Josh our best friend.
Yeah. Josh did ask us to really, you know, strength test the game for him. And I think we did that. And BJ definitely gave him an earful for it. A good earful.
Yeah.
Like constructive criticism, we'll say. Yeah. But yeah, I would play again for sure, though.
The listed time is supposed to be an hour to 2 hours, depending on, you know, gameplay length or player count.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. So, you know, we went
seven.
We went a little longer than that. Anyways, that was The Boys. This is going to hurt. You can still find that on Kickstarter and all of the lovely places. There will be an expansion later on this year that will be coming out. Hopefully that will make the game even more fun. Yep. But until then, we must get to some other crowdfunded games. Sean.
Yes.
It's your segment. What do we got on the Kickstarter today, or the Quickstarter, or the everything?
The everything. Yes, the first one we'd like to talk about is Trolls and Princesses by Game Brewer. Game Brewer tends to make a lot of Euros that we've played. They did Pixie Queen, for example.
So Sean and good people.
Yes.
Sorry.
In Trolls and Princesses, it's a, quote, easy-to-learn, hard-to-master strategic board game on the Scandinavian troll legend with a humorous twist. This is definitely a kind of Euro-style game. You're going to be doing what they call a worker movement game. We are going to be going around taking actions either in a village area or out in a kind of a resource gathering area. So two different spaces that you're going to be kind of working in. 2 to 4 players, 90 to 120 minutes. This one is a $60 standard and an $82 special edition. So there is a ton of stuff in this game. Lots and lots.
But can I try it before I buy
lots
it?
Lots of people. Well, you can go play it on TTS.
Hey!
Yeah!
Yes. A lot of games on Kickstarter now will put themselves up on Tabletop Simulator, so you can check it out, and this is one such game. Yeah, like I said, there is tons and tons of meeples. The art style is almost kind of like fairy tale style, lots kind of cutesy style. Really gorgeous work. The art's just gorgeous as well. By the same artist as Bitoku, which may interest you, Josh, there.
A beautiful, beautiful physics problem. I would tell you if Bitoku is good or bad, but I haven't learned it yet. I'm trying. It's very rules heavy.
You haven't solved the equation yet?
Not yet. Anyway.
Anyway.
Trolls and Princesses.
Speaking of Trolls and Princesses. So the standard meeples are, you know, very non-screen, but the other ones are more upgraded. They have lots of silk screening on them, cool designs. The gameplay, like I said, is very simple. You're basically just moving your workers and doing stuff, but trying to figure out how to strategize within that to be successful and outpace your opponents is kind of how you win the game. So it's really about, there's a little bit of collaboration, but there's only going to be one winner.
One of the actions is steal a cow.
I would be only using that action. Joey would go for his 10th cow.
Gotta love some good high-quality player interaction.
There's also the ever-popular action of hide a church bell.
Yes.
What do you think that does in the game?
Well, it couldn't be more disturbing than swap babies with changelings.
I like this game already.
So what are the add-ons you can get? They have a magnetic storage box for each player. So each player gets their own little like box with all their stuff. So you just go, boom, Josh, here's all your junk. And, you know, you don't have to baggy everything separately and sort all that out. It's already done for you, which is really cool. just, I mean, the production on this looks amazing. Game Brewer always does really high quality stuff, and they've delivered successfully on a number of their Kickstarters. So
I just want to swap babies with changelings.
It's this sounds. I'm backing this, FYI, because just sounds all kinds of silly fun. This will be ending on February 17th. They're currently at 70K of their 27K goal, so lots of extras are being layered into the game. And there are about 886 backers, so get in and check this one out. Next up is Hollywood 1947, a movie-making game of strategy and deception. This is by Facade Games. They have a series of games that are all done in a style that looks like a book.
Oh, interesting. I like this.
So
so the book is a facade.
Aha, yes. He's figured it out, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm here to help.
So in this one, in Hollywood, what you're doing is you're playing essentially a movie producer. And you're going out producing these different movies, horror movies, war movies, all stuff around that kind of like 1950s sort of era, 1947 to be specific. One thing that was very pivotal about this era of history is this was during the big Red Scare. So people might be called out as, you're a socialist. Well, this is a hidden deduction game as well.
Uh-oh, hidden deduction.
You said 1950s?
Well, I said 1947.
40s. Oh, 1940s. Okay. Just checking on what year.
Yes. Thank you for listening to all the words.
I'm right on top of that, Rose.
So you might be a loyalist. You might be an evil socialist trying to advance the bad side of things. But nobody knows who's going what. And what you're doing is you're going to be adding things into productions, adding characters, adding plot devices. And they do this through a card sleeving element. And if a movie is successful, then it might advance, might have elements in that movie that advances some ideas of socialism. Or it might not. So you're trying to figure out, you don't want the socialist propaganda to be successful. You want the non-versions of that.
So, John is evil, I can tell.
Yep, it looks really cool. I love how they do this. The whole like card sleeving thing with kind of hidden information within the cards being sleeved together and then things get revealed. Really, really neat concept.
Oh, there's a comedy movie poster. There's a horror movie poster with Boris Price, and it shows Anubis. But their comedy has two people on the back of an elephant, Joey.
That's an elephant.
There's an elephant.
That's one elephant in the right direction.
The base game is $24. The deluxe edition, which has upgraded pieces for each level of person that's working in the game, whether it's a director or, you know, whatnot, the different elements. Upgraded pieces for that, upgraded cards, stuff like that. That's $54. And let's see here. They are currently at $567. Thousand of their 30,000 goal.
Yeah, they might funded. Make it.
So it might be happening. This is going to be ending on February 16th. They have right around 8,300 backers, so lots of people are interested in this, which is cool to see them go, because I remember when their first game came out, so it's been really fun to see this company kind of take off. Get in and check this one out. If you like social deduction style games with a really interesting twist on the whole, the story about this one, you know, the movie making, but set in that 1940s Red Scare era. Really, really cool concept and really neat looking game. Next up is Hero Realms Dungeons.
Have they ever done anything?
I don't remember.
Hero Realms?
You're racking my mind.
If you don't know what Hero Realms is based off of Star Realms. Star Realms is a deck-building game set in a sci-fi universe, very competitive. Hero Realms takes the same concepts of Star Realms, the deck building. You've got five cards, you're going to be acquiring cards from a purchase row, etc. But it makes it fully cooperative, where you're working together to try and take out some bad guy. It's been doing really well, and this is the newest version of that. This is they're adding 80 new cards, 6 new characters, 12 encounter dungeons, and it's a campaign for 1 to 5 players. players. If you like deck building, if you like, you know, that fantasy genre, and you like cooperative games, this
what
is kind
what
of
what if
a
I
no-brainer.
Like phenomenal art?
Yeah, their art's really, really good, yeah. For sure. I like deck builders, and I've played this before. This is a great cooperative deck building game. Really, really easy to teach. Really easy to pick up and learn. This is going to be $30 for the base game, which for everything that you get in this, tons of cards, tons of replayability, and a long, you know, campaign that's going to be fun to play. It's a really good price. If you want the all-in, which is basically all things Hero Realms, then it's $299 for the all-in edition. And that's going to get you a whole ton of crap. They've got 4,127 backers right now.
Ooh.
So, yeah, it's a very popular system. They've got 647K of their 20K goal.
Funded.
So very, very, very funded. Another super popular game. This is going to be ending on February 16th. So get in and check in Hero Realms. Still in the land of Kickstarter, last but definitely not least from our friends over at Calliope Games is Four Corners. Four Corners is a living puzzle board game for 1 to 6 players where you're going to be twisting tiles to create a kaleidoscope or a galaxy. Now, I say a kaleidoscope or a galaxy because there are two different games.
What? Huh?
So there's the kaleidoscope game and there's the galaxy game.
This is two games in one.
It's two separate games completely.
What, so, two separate games completely?
Yes.
So, huh.
It so, looks to me, just off without reading words,
mm-hmm.
Kaleidoscope is more abstract.
Yes.
But if you can't wrap your head around abstract, here's galaxies.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like the galaxies one. That should tell you what
it is. It definitely gives you like which way you kind of, you know, you kind of bend as far as that goes. Both are really gorgeous. I mean, Calliope always does really pretty games, and something is really cool about this. So Calliope has done a lot of tile style games, right? That's one of the things they're really known for is that style of game. And they've taken the whole tile placement and tile movement thing. Normally that's going to be kind of annoying because you're going to be spinning your tiles. You're going to be rotating them around. Now you're going to have to pick the tile up and rotate it, and it's really fiddly.
But Sean. That,
yes.
What if I want to play it before I back it?
There might be.
Where
this,
can you
this
go?
Might be on Tabletop Simulator.
Hey, look at that. It is on Tabletop Simulator.
Wow.
So they actually solved the problem of a tile spinning, rotating game being very fiddly annoying and how it interrupts, you know, things being connected together because they have this plastic base that you play into. And the base has an inverted little area that the tile sits on, and you could push down on one corner and then spin it around and then let it go.
So like the some of the game tray style card holders,
yeah.
Where it's got a raised thing, so you just press down, the whole thing comes up, and you can pick it up easily.
You don't even have to pick it up. You just push it down and spin it,
yeah.
And then put it back.
I'm looking at
that's
the video.
Really
that's
smart.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a really ingenious system. It makes the whole, like, takes away all the fiddliness and worry about, you know, making things mess up or whatever, and solves it. Like, just brilliant on their part.
And you get two games?
Well, so you decide which one you want to back for. If you want the Galaxy version, that's $32. If you want the Kaleidoscope version, that is also $32. So which way you want to go? But maybe you're kind of that, well, I like both. They're both really gorgeous. And, you know, I have some friends that are more into abstract. I have some friends that are more into, you know, space type stuff. So maybe I'll just spend $60 and get both, which saving a bit of money as well.
I like getting both.
They're currently at $12,000 of their $8,500 goal. So they're funded, which is awesome. Calliope's been around for a long time. So they are definitely going to be, you know, bringing stuff out. So there's no concern about them as a company. They've got 285 backers. And this is going to be ending on February 26th. Check this out. Gorgeous game. Fantastic company. You can't go wrong with them for sure. Last up. We're going to go to the land of GameFound.
GameFound!
this is an interesting one. I hadn't heard about this before. So this is a game called Scrap by Jolly Swagman Games.
Jolly Swagman?
Jolly Swagman. I love that name. Just amazing. So Scrap is a sci-fi game. for 2 to 4 players. It is about robots. The robots are basically AI that have come alive. In this, so I'm going to read from their Kickstarter, or their game found here. You play an intelligence, a bot collective, that has just become sentient due to an event known as the Singularity.
Ooh.
This event caused Celestium to flow all throughout the universe, sparking all kinds of mysterious changes to all it watched over. For bots, this meant the development of cognition, sort of getting smart, and a hunger to learn more.
All hunger.
So, this is going to be some programming, because you're going to be programming your bots. You're going to be going out to different locations. You're going to be doing actions and getting stuff in these locations. They call it a 3X game, where it's exploit, expand, and
explore.
And explore, no exterminate.
Actually, no. John, there's exterminate. I was leading. I was teasing. Yes, there's definitely exterminate in there.
So John Connor's not safe.
No. Expand, exploit, and exterminate. The best aspects of the X's. Lots of different factions. There's 6 different factions to be specific. Man, there is so much content in this game as far as like all the different pieces. They've got, let's see here, 113 wooden robot meeples.
Jeez.
Just a few. And they've got 12 locations. They've got 76 function cards, 36 fragment cards, tons and more.
Did you see the Saga pledge level?
Yes.
I have never seen a pledge level like this before, ever.
Why don't you explain what the Saga pledge level is?
You're in it for the long haul and want to see more games from this developer. Grab the power-up edition of Scrap and then a copy of every game I release ever. It's the $500 pledge level.
Oh, that's not bad.
It could be an investment.
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy blows up. He might regret this decision.
That's true. Or change his name.
There are people that are at a pledge that. There's 11 pledges at that level.
Oh, wow.
People are willing to, you know, kind of roll the dice and, hey, sure, we'll go along this journey with you.
Well, I don't know if you know, but GameFound has stretch pay, which you can break these up into monthly payments for some of these higher pledges.
Look at that.
Yep.
So for this one, it's get it for $167 a month, essentially, for 3 or 4 months.
Get on my payment plan.
Yes. That's actually kind of really, because, you know, some of the games do get kind of pricey. The base pledge for this is $125. You're getting a ton of stuff for it, so I understand why it's $125. But with the monthly payment system that you can do, it's only $41 a month to pay off that $125. So it's that's a really cool system that GameFound has, the stretch pay. This is going to be ending on February 26th as well. As I said, the base pledge is $125. There is a deluxe version which upgrades all the stuff for $150. Definitely get in and check this out. This looks really, really cool, and I love that idea of like, hey, I'll go $500 and that. Let's go on this journey, baby. Give me all the stuff for free, whatever you make.
Oh, that is so true. Thank you, Sean, for informing us with all the awesome games coming up. And thank you, Geek Nationals, for joining us on another episode of BJJ's Board Game Alliance. Make sure to join us next week as we talk games played and all things gaming storage, organizers, baggy shelving, and more. But until then, Josh.
Play nice.